What a journey that was. Today is February 8th. The time is currently 10:53 p.m. Central Standard Time. I've been back in Texas since late Saturday night, and I've been back at the grind for the past several days. Life has returned mostly to normal. I can't really complain about that because life is actually pretty fucking good right now. But about the boat, final round of day four was exhausting, and I'm going to have to refer here to the photos that I took that day on that particular round. I believe my last update was round one of day four, which was just rotting Christ for me as far as bands I shot. Now I had been assigned pool deck duty for the shift beginning at 7 p.m. So that means that I got to shoot all the headlining bands, which was a good deal of fun. That pool deck stage, while the capacity might not be what it is at the theater, the pool deck stage definitely has the coolest fucking ambiance, because you're out in the open. It is an outdoor stage. It is the only outdoor stage. And while it may not have the capacity that the theater has, it is by no means small. And we're out in the open, out in the elements, surrounded by complete darkness because we are several miles removed from any land and any other ships. We're out there on our own, and we're pretty fucking loud. The first band that I was assigned to shoot that night was Korpiklaani. If you're not familiar with them, they are fucking fun. Finnish folk metal band, whom I had most recently seen touring with Elveti and Gun in April. About 3 years ago, maybe four. And this band brought their fucking A game. And as enjoyable as they were to shoot, their performance was so fucking infectious that I got there. By the time I got there, I was the only photographer in the pit. And I don't know why that is, but I'm grateful for it, because I spent the entire fucking time dodging crowd surfers. I've never seen so many crowd surfers in my life. During one set, I lost track after about 20 or 30. I don't even remember. including several crowd surfers in costume. All the energy that band was putting out was being reciprocated by everybody in that audience. And seeing a sea of surfing bodies was almost as much fun as what the band was doing on stage. Just top-notch performance. Definitely another highlight of the week. Now, the reason that I had been able to shoot Korpiklaani by myself is because I actually got there midway through their set. My shift began at 7, but no band started on the pool deck until 7:45. Cynic started at 7 at one of the other stages, at the theater stage, and their entire set was the Focus album, start to finish, and I wasn't going to miss that. Their performance was intoxicating. As groundbreaking as that album is, I feel like I've said this already, but as groundbreaking as that album is, I don't think it was really served well by the production. There was a 2004 remix reissue of the album that did a commendable job updating the sound, but something about hearing everything live performed with contemporary technology did that entire album an incredible service. But because I think that I've already discussed this, I'm just going to move on to my next assigned band after Gorby, which is Camelot. I've mentioned before that I've never really cared for Camelot, but I absolutely commend them for their professionalism. I kind of feel like I've talked about this again. Please keep in mind that these audio diary entries are completely unscripted. I'm not, the only thing that I'm referring to right now is the photos that I took. So yeah, just bear that in mind if you would. Dark Tranquility also performed that night. I've mentioned more than once in these audio diaries and in my previous contributions to Sonic Perspectives that Dark Tranquility is the most consistently excellent band in metal. They've put out about 50 bajillion albums, and not a single one of them has been bad. They've all ranged from either great to excellent to fucking essential. And as far as I'm concerned, Dark Tranquility is the heart and soul of the Gothenburg sound. Even as the Gothenburg sound evolved and, you know, and all those bands kind of went off and did their own thing, it's been Dark Tranquility that were really the spirit of everything that that term embodies. Side note, I did see, I would like to make a correction. I may have mentioned that at the first night was set in the theater that I had seen Tom and Ricard and Henrik from Evergrey sitting together watching watching Nightwish's set. That is not accurate. When I actually looked at the photos, I realized that that was not Henrik. That was Michael Stanna from Dark Tranquility. So, side note / correction there. But yeah, Dark Tranquility played a different set, if I remember correctly. And if I remember correctly, we're one of the few bands to do that. One of the few bands to play a completely different set the second time they hit the stage. I, for one, appreciate that, especially as lengthy as their discography is. I'm grateful that they thought well enough of their audience to give them two different performances, which is not a slag against the bands who chose to play the same set both times. I understand the motivation to do that, because the running order is wild. Bands start playing as early as 10 o'clock and finish playing as late as 4 o'clock. And given everything that there is to do on the boat, and given that there are many conflicting schedules, I can't hold it against anybody who is unable to catch both sets of whatever band they want to see. Hell, there were bands whom I desperately wanted to see whom I did not get to see at all. Serenia comes to mind. Evergrey comes to mind. Atrocity comes to mind. 60 bands is and 120 performances. There's a lot to do. There's a lot going on. So I totally understand if any band wants to perform the same set twice. I get it. Nevertheless, my hat's off to Dark Tranquillity for their legacy of excellence and for them performing those two different sets. Props to them. I should also note that they, unlike most other death metal bands, are absolute fucking rock stars on stage. Some of my favorite photos from other concert photographers that I've seen have been on Dark Tranquillity, and a lot of them focus on Michael, because he likes to drop to his knees and to get down on face level. Many times he will actually get into the audience. One audience member at their first performance was kind enough to prop me up as I was leaning over the rail trying to get photos of him while he was doing the same. I mean, you know, and that's just Michael. The rest of the guys on stage are absolute madmen. They are an absolute dream to behold and to photograph. And like, and any other fellow concert photographers out there who have not shot Dark Tranquillity, cool little surprise for you is that you don't have to chase them around. They will come to you. That's just how they roll. They are all over the place. And Jonas in particular, with his majestic flowing mane and ridiculous guitar skills. No disrespect to Mr. Amet on, you know, the other guitar player who old timers like me may have seen an Arch Enemy before. No disrespect to him at all. It's just that that dramatic hair makes for dramatic photos. So, much, much respect to Dark Tranquillity. They just slay. I adore that band. Amorphis also performed. Mostly the same set. Like many other sets, I was not able to catch it start to finish. But I did hear at least three repeats from the previous performance. Black Winter Day, House of Sleep, The Bee, and so forth. They are one of the progenitors of folk metal. You know, even if they don't have any folk instruments on stage, their melodies, their lyrical content, their style, their psychedelic, all that stuff, well, most of that stuff, they draw from the folklore of their native Finland. You know that already. To hear it performed live really hits home how not foreign that sound and those melodies are, but how exotic they can be. Which isn't to say that it doesn't come through in their recorded output, but seeing it and hearing it performed on stage really brings those elements to the forefront. Especially with the contemporary technology. I mean, you know, those early albums, you know, Thousand Lakes, Karelianismus, and so forth, they're great. They're wonderful. They're vital. Their contributions to the evolution of metal can't be understated. But given budgetary restrictions and the technology available at the time, they don't sound great. So, Black Winter Day, sounds fucking amazing live, especially with Tommy's growl. That dude's got a sick fucking growl. He's one of the great frontmen of death metal. Let's see, we've discussed Camelot already. Nightwish was up next, if I remember correctly. And absolute pros. Consummate professionals. Miss Janssen, I won't stop saying it, is a fucking goddess. And not only is she in absolute control of that majestic voice of hers, she is in absolute control of every individual in that audience. Every individual in that audience adores this woman. Once again, their new bass player, he seemed a little more at ease at their second performance. I may be mistaken here, but he seemed a lot more comfortable and a lot more free to move around. It is really, really difficult to step into the shoes of so distinctive a presence as Marco. And he does honor Marco's legacy by not trying to imitate it. And I admire that. He is up there to do his job, and he does it admirably. And to see him let loose a little more really felt less incongruous than it did. His performances both nights were solid. The man by no means sucks. But seeing him seem to loosen up for the second performance, for me anyway, was kind of... To me, it felt like he was liberated compared to the previous night. Like, he wasn't just a guy doing a job. He seemed more like a guy up there doing his thing, if that makes any sense. But yeah, because I was shooting all these bands back to back, I was unable to edit in between sets. So as much as it pained me to do it, I mean, please keep in mind that Nightwish has been one of my favorite bands since the late 90s. As much as it pained me to leave early into their set, I had to duck out after 4, maybe 5 songs and get to work. Because every band that I had shot since the daylight hours, all those photos needed to be downloaded and properly taken care of, and all those photos needed to be turned in before the end of the night. That was a pretty tall order. Long story short, I was up editing until roughly 5 in the morning. Disembarkation began at 7:30. I managed to get all my work turned in maybe a quarter after 5. While my photos were exporting was when I showered and finished packing all my shit, turned the photos in, and took a power nap. And then day 5, it's time to get off the boat. And there was not so much a big sad that took over the ship, but more of a feeling of a worthy vacation concluding, and anticipation for the next round. So after the headlining band performs, and mind you, other bands continue performing at the smaller stages, but the big draw gets the final performance on the pool deck stage. So after Nightwish concluded, oh, by the way, none other than Patrick Starr, the dummy from SpongeBob SquarePants, was crowd surfing at the very end of Nightwish's set. I believe they closed with The Greatest Show on Earth. And, Patrick Starr was crowd surfing during that, and I got some ridiculous photos of him being escorted from the pit after he landed. But the skipper, who I assume is this Andy character who puts this escapade together, got up on stage to address the crowd, to offer his gratitude to everybody who helped make his admittedly rather absurd vision not only a reality, but make the fucking thing succeed for 11 rounds. 71 countries were represented on that boat. I personally met people from, let's see, Chile, Colombia, Venezuela, Bolivia, Mexico, Canada, the US, Germany, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Egypt, Israel. Those are just people whom I met. You know, those nations that I listed off don't exactly add up to 71, but there was... But knowing that there were so many nations represented on that boat reminded me once again of that t-shirt that I saw the day that we all got on the boat. The United Nations of Metal. It's a beautiful thing. I wanted to speak for a moment about the culture of the boat. From the moment that I got on, there was that sense that it was one big-ass family reunion. I feel that at Prog Power. I've been over 10 times to that, so yeah, it kind of does feel like Prog Power. And I heard many, many stories about deep and long-term friendships and relationships of other sorts that were formed on that boat. That was the first thing that I noticed. The second thing that I noticed, obviously, there's something of a drinking culture at these metal shows. The first round famously ran out of beer. At the casino, where there's like a rather large crowd congregating as people are getting on the ship and their stuff is getting delivered to their cabins, and the general public is not yet allowed into their cabins, people congregate. They congregate on the upper deck, where I hung out with all those Latinos the first day. They congregate in the promenade, in the German bar, in the wine bar, and they congregate in the sports bar, and they congregate in the casino. And at the casino bar, I noticed early on that as people were emptying their beer cans into their throats, rather than hand the cans over to the bartender to dispose of properly, they would start stacking the beer cans. And before I knew it, there were about 6 consecutive stacks of empty cans of Foster's that were starting to reach the 15-foot ceilings of the casino. And as those stacks kept getting higher and higher, everybody around that bar would go into collective "Oh!" as they cheered on whatever schlep was trying to get, you know, to stack another can on top of that pyramid. And every time a slightly intoxicated metalhead successfully added another layer onto that stack, everybody would break into applause. And on multiple occasions, some clumsy fool would let the whole fucking thing collapse. Of course, at some point, like, people would have to, like, kneel on a bar stool, stand on a bar stool, kneel on the bar itself, stand on the bar itself. I think I had to stand on a stool in order to make my one contribution that day, with my cameras hanging from my shoulders. It was during this that I met a couple from Finland whom I painstakingly tried to teach to say very, very rude things in Spanish. And I am pleased to report that by day 3, the wife, at least, had nailed it. Another thing that I wanted to mention was the costume culture. Many people, everybody really is completely at ease on that boat. They are among peers. They are among friends. They are among extended family. They are among chosen family. They do whatever the fuck they want with no regard to how they might be perceived. That said, I saw people wearing pink uniform costumes, SpongeBob costumes, Patrick Star costumes, Mario and Luigi, Spider-Man, and so forth. I saw people dressed in their native cultural attire. And perhaps most ridiculously, well, I can't even describe the costume. You'll see the guy in photos, but he basically looked like a salmon. I know that I got at least a few photos of him crowd surfing during Corpy. But yeah, little regard is paid to ego amongst the dresser-uppers. And I admire that a lot about them. I saw a vibrant LGBTQ crowd who clearly felt at ease on the boat. That makes my heart happy. And I saw something that I might not have envisioned as a teenager back when there was, like, attention and almost animosity between the death metalers and the power metalers and so on and so forth. That, for me, stopped making sense in my late teens. And apparently the metal world at large also moved away from those stupid rivalries. You like what you like. If you like something I don't like, I'm gonna let you enjoy it. I distinctly remember one of my DC friends and I were entering a theater expecting to see one band and instead seeing the setup for another band who, despite their popularity, neither of us care for. So we didn't heckle. We just said, oh, let's go do something else. And off we go. Not to toot my own horn, but this is the correct way to do things. Let people enjoy things. You know, leave them in their happy place. I've heard many, many times at other festivals where a band of X subgenre gets heckled by a fan of Y subgenre. That's just fucking stupid. If you're going to go out of your way to pay all that money for the ticket and then travel and lodging and this and that, why would you ruin your own mood just to express your displeasure with whatever band is on stage? Just fucking leave. There are people there who went specifically for that band that you hate. And that's fine. That's important to them. Have a little bit of respect for them and for the performers. Just fucking leave. It'll be better for them. It'll be better for you. And I'm pleased to report that that's exactly what I noticed the entire time. I did not see a single band get heckled. I did not hear any chants of "you suck." Nothing. This benefits everybody. This benefits the bands. This benefits the band's morales. This benefits the crowds. And this benefits the would-be hecklers. Because rather than wasting their energy hating on something, they're going off and doing something else that they enjoy. Everybody wins. I wish I could see more of that at other concerts. I suspect that tide has been turning as well, and I'm grateful for that. It was a wild ride. It was a wild, exhausting ride. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that the 70K team had enough confidence in me to ask me to take this ride with them. It was super validating for me because, I mean, I know I'm good at what I do, but I'm only human. I get imposter syndrome. I try to surround myself with people who are better at my craft than I am. And I do that to learn. You know, I do that because I enjoy learning. I enjoy setting goals and then reaching them. But every now and then, I get intimidated. Fuck, that dude's good. Damn, this chick knows what she's doing. Sometimes it's a little scary when you see somebody who is doing the things that you've tried to do and just haven't quite gotten. But after you set your pride aside, they just become an inspiration. You learn from them. You see the way they do things. You pick their brains. You learn. People are mostly very happy to share their knowledge. I know that that's true with me. I don't see the point in withholding knowledge because I get joy from seeing other people reach their potential And if I have even a small part in that, that gives me the happies. I was surrounded by people who are as good and better at this thing that I do than I am, and being asked to be among them for this particular ride especially, for me was an honor. I'm super fucking grateful to have been given this opportunity, and as exhausting an experience as it was, I would do it again in a fucking heartbeat. I'm signing off now. If I come back, if I'm asked to come back, I will accept with zero hesitation. It's a fantastic experience. And if you can make it happen for yourself, you owe it to yourself to do it at least once. Because again, it's a fucking ride. Good night, y'all.